You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, we think, we're never too sure until he rings in, we think the doc from Sydney, Dr. Ben Fordham, MD.
It's a bit early. He's still on air.
Ivan, please, mate. No one knows what time we're doing this. Heidi already said that it was 7 o'clock when we're doing this.
In the morning, and I think that's impressive.
No, Heidi. It doesn't matter what time it is. No one knows. But the time this gets downloaded, no one has any idea what time we're doing it. Ben Fordham, we never know if he's going to ring in until he rings in, whether we're doing it early or we're not, Ivan.
Yeah.
So I could start this again you could pretend that you didn't say that. But we won't do that because we don't do that. So we think the doc is going to ring in. And the reason I said that is because why? Because he says you shouldn't do shout-outs. We didn't do them at the start of the podcast, yeah. But we're doing them now because Michael Christian menswear.com. I met the real Michael Christian at a function I was at on Friday. Michael Christian, who is the games AFL man who is the...
Tribunal?
Yeah, he's not the tribunal. He decides whether cases should go up before. What's he called? The match review man, Christian. He used to play football for Collingwood.
Right.
And I saw him at this function and I said, Michael, why don't you come on the podcast? And he said he would like to come on, but he's going to have to clear it with the AFL, which is fair enough. That's his employer. Anyhow, I met him. He is Michael Christian. But Michael Christian menswear.com, the man who provides the caps, the You Cannot Be Serious caps and T-shirts.
Which I don't have one.
Well, you can wear it to the play we're going to on
no hats on allowed.
Might get cancelled.
Yeah,
we've got a gas light, a spare stubby holder here. You can take that
stubby holder. All right, good.
I could give you a T-shirt, and we could have a wet T-shirt competition with. You cannot be serious.
And I can throw a drink over you and that'd make a wet T-shirt.
And we can have a competition.
Yeah, great. So Michael Christian, he can't get enough stock to... apparently they've run out of the stock over in China where the sweatshops are, or I think they make them in Vietnam, I don't know. Kids who are 12 and 13 and...
Doing gymnastics.
Yeah, no, that's right. And they're knocking up these because that's where everything's made. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Gucci and Saint Laurent, doesn't matter what label you put on it. They're all made in the sweatshops in Vietnam. So don't worry. Think you're saving the children by not buying any. So he can't get enough of the caps. You cannot be serious. Caps, have you seen them?
Yes.
Yes. Well, he wants me to give a shout-out. That's a long-winded way of saying. He said, could you please give a happy birthday shout-out to our friend Ruben Schnauzer?
Ooh.
Schnauzer. Oh.
Schnauzer. No. Isn't that?
That's a dog.
That's a dog, yeah.
Schnauzer. Well, Ruben Schnauzer. I don't know how you pronounce that. That's Schnauzer,
would
surely.
He be German?
Yes, with a name like that. Show me. I've got to put my... I'm of a certain age where I have to put my glasses on.
Schnauzer. I would say he's...
Schnauzer, yep.
Yeah, Schnauzer, thanks.
From all his friends in New York.
Yeah, New York, that's right. I didn't read any further than that.
We sent caps over to New York.
Ruben is a big fan of the podcast and wants to know how much it will cost to get Don back. Scott.
What, am I being replaced?
No, no. See, what we're trying to do, Heidi Victoria, is have you come in once a month, have Doug Hawkins come in once a month.
Dougie.
Have, who was the other person?
Greg.
Greg Evans to come in. And Don, if he saw fit, could come in once a month so he doesn't have to drive up. So if he wanted to do that, but he won't want to do that.
I'll have to get Phoebe to ask him.
Yeah, get Phoebe.
While they're watching maths.
Yeah, they can.
I love Fiona. She's gorgeous.
And how much will it cost to get Don back? And he says, well, this will give an idea of where Reuben Schnauzer's from. It says, Shalom for now, Leo Abrahams. I'd say he's from Israel.
Well, but the thing was, it said the friends from New York. I missed that bit. I mean, I didn't
Jewish
read the whole
American.
Thing. Yes, but I'm just wondering if they would sponsor us to go and do a live broadcast from over there.
that's an interesting phone ring.
Somebody playing the ringtone.
So you've already been on a junket to China. You told us when you stayed in your hotel and saw the helicopters from
scary.
That was when you were a politician.
It was.
Yes, that was a junket.
Yeah, you're a politician in China.
Yeah.
Oh, I was not a politician in China.
No, sorry, you're a politician.
When you're here when we're having that discussion.
No, I'm trying to say something here. You're a politician. Were you? You must have been invited to China. You can't just rock up.
No, you have to get your visas and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah, right. Ivan.
No, there's other things going on.
She there, that woman there, Heidi, was a...
Oh, yeah, no, that was a bloke that you're talking... I think I know where he's going, Sam. And no, former politician who sold their country out, they're sure it's a bloke.
Yeah.
It was not me, I promise. It's been in the news this week.
Okay, no, I knew she was a politician.
I think that was... an attempt of humour from Ivan.
I see.
I'm not very good at this.
It
flew too low under the radar.
Is this about the former Premier?
Yeah, don't worry.
Is it? Well, we've got some news on the former Premier. We're going to play, now that you've mentioned it, I'm going to play. There was a headline in the paper during the weekend. It said, hand it over. Did you see that about Dan Andrews' phone?
Yeah.
About the... bicycle accident he had with the boy, Roger, what was his name? Muellerman.
Yep.
Mm. Ryan Muellerman.
Yep.
Ryan Muellerman. And there was a whole lot of controversy about how that was handled. And they've asked now, the court has asked Dan Andrews to hand over his phone because they want to see who he rang and what happened. And we interviewed Paul Brady, who was a retired detective sergeant 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what he said is now being borne out to be absolutely vital in what he spoke about. And we're going to replay the interview. It goes for 7 minutes. Going to add it on to the back of this podcast. Going to play the interview about how the procedure of the car accident was not followed in any way at all. He said a senior sergeant should have handled the matter. The lockdown of the crime scene didn't happen. Witnesses and participants weren't isolated. There was no breath test done. The major collisions department should have been notified. The damaged vehicle should have been photographed in situ, which is where it stood.
Yep.
The photo of the car showed that a car drove into the boy rather than the boy T-boning the car. And the car should have been taken to a forensic laboratory. And the boy was coerced into taking a payout. That's what he said on the podcast. And I've got a feeling 2 years on, they're about to check all those things and find out why the protocols weren't... We'll replay his interview.
Look, I'm not a...
on it.
You know, tech giant or anything like that. But do you honestly think there's going to be records on that phone of those phone conversations? And... you know, because of national security, telcos, everything is kept on record. They can go back and see what phone numbers. They can pull those records without getting the physical phone. I don't know why they're doing that.
Well, they're going to probably see if the phone has not been deleted or whatever. And if they think that it has, then they might go to the telco companies and say, we'd like the numbers that were rung on those days. I don't know.
Bypass the prolonged sort of agony and just go straight to the telco. But
So what was it like? Refresh my memory. Were we thinking Dan was driving, or
we're not suggesting.
Because
no, right.
it's allegedly.
They said there were about 10 protocols for a serious accident, and the boy lost most of his spleen, didn't he? And he was 16 or 15 at the time.
Life changing,
and they said there was a whole lot of protocols not done, and they wanted to see who Dan Andrews rang immediately after the accident. Would it have been the ambulance to come down, or was it the police commissioner, or what? Who was it? We're not suggesting anything, but there was Paul Brady said there was every protocol wasn't followed because maybe of who it was that was involved.
You'd hope that there aren't laws for one and then laws for others.
Oh, really?
You would hope.
Have you been following what's going on in the United States of America?
Heidi.
My word.
Dishonest
people. They're no better than Russia. Joe Biden and the disgraceful party that he represents are no better than Russia. They reckon Putin killed Govelnikov, or whatever his name was.
Navalny.
So he couldn't run against him in the elections. That's exactly what they're doing to Donald Trump. They are leaving no stone unturned to try and stop Trump.
He's still walking and talking,
though. Pardon? Who?
He is still walking and talking.
At this stage, Heidi, at this stage, you can bet your bottom dollar that if they can't stop him from being a running mate, not a running mate, if they can't have him as the opposition to Joe Biden in the election, that I'll tell you, they'll end up assassinating him.
Yeah, they are the most corrupt, make a martyr out of him, and then the
most
corrupt
and dishonest people out of any third world country in the business. Just have a look at how they operate. Under the sanction of the man who doesn't even know what he's doing, an absolute buffoon who is retarded mentally, and I use the term advisedly, that's Joe Biden. He is mentally not capable of understanding anything that's going on, but of course he is just a Trojan horse. There's people pulling the strings.
Well, isn't that usually the way at the upper echelons?
Well, not if Trump's in charge. Trump runs the whole show. No, that's not necessarily right.
Well, I said that to be inflammatory as a former politician.
Yeah. So Great Keppel Island. Yeah, they want to change the name of Great Keppel Island to its original indigenous name called Whopper.
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 Whopper is the Whopper. West Australian Academy of Performing Arts.
Well, that's Whopper or Whopper or Whopper.
Whopper. And, of course, up the road you've got, what is it, Kagari, which is, I had to look that up, and that is Fraser Island.
Yes.
Yeah.
So here, this is what's going to happen, Heidi. Every name now is going to be under scrutiny. We change it back to the meaningless names of what they were never called in the first place. They were just names given after settlement. And they keep saying those the First Nations people on this country were people. We were made a nation in 1900. So to say there were people before that called the First Nations people is erroneous. It's wrong. The people who were here in 1900 are the First Nations people.
Maybe we should get somebody on to interview about that.
Love to. We've asked many people to come on, but they won't.
Okay.
Who was the woman that we...
Jacinta.
No, not Jacinta Allen. What's her name?
Jacinta Price.
No, we didn't ask Jacinta Price to come on. The woman rang her media manager.
She's out there. What is her name?
We'll ask her again on
former Green.
Publicly, no.
She was out the front of the strippers.
Woman who's belting people in the...
Former Green in the Victorian Parliament, who then went to federal Parliament.
What's her name? I can't...
Jeez, are we good?
Anyhow,
She's made a great impact on everybody.
Well, yeah, but everyone knows she was out the front of the strip club.
Lydia to come on here. I'd had a very pleasant conversation with her media manager. I said, ask Lydia, would she like to come on and have a chat to us? And I said, I've got a feeling I know what her answer will be. And the bloke laughed. And in fairness, he rang me back and he said, no, I've put that to Miss Thorpe or whatever her name is. And she said, yes, you weren't far out with what you said that she'd say. I said, well, it doesn't matter. Well, look, we could become very best friends. Tell her to come in. We just want to have a chat to her about what she's on about.
No, she won't come in. You will mentally dissect her.
No, I won't. I'll just ask her to have a conversation about where this is all headed. And
instead,
why.
He'll gaslight her.
Yes, I might gaslight her.
Or cancel her or something.
So anyhow, Lydia, if this gets back to you, come in and have a chat to us. We're pussycats. We only just want to know why you think we should change all the names and why you think we should welcome people to the country we live in and why. And you might have very good reasons to, and we'll be listening to them. We won't browbeat you. We will have a conversation with you, which is what we do with anyone we interview.
I'm just looking for the birch sticks or something.
That's right. Bring the birch. Bring the smoking shit in here, and we might have a whiff of it ourselves and see if we can get high. So Great Keppel now being thinking of changing it to Whopper or Whooper or something. And I notice a woman called Edwina Bartholomew. She's on a show, a Sunrise personality called Edwina Bartholomew. She said her and her husband live apart on the weekdays and they only live together, their husband and wife.
Yep.
Or she obviously hasn't got the memo because she said it was her husband, but it should be her partner. Because we're not allowed to do husbands.
No,
and
husband if you're actually married, but partner
no,
if you're not.
She didn't.
That's
what
it is, but
not allowed to. Not allowed to call,
say that.
Not allowed to call
well,
you.
I haven't got either.
No.
She
didn't get the memo about what you should call your partner. You can't call your husband. Anyhow, she said that we live apart during the week and we. Fraternise, get together on the weekend. But other than that, now that'd be a great way to have a marriage last, wouldn't it?
I reckon that's fantastic because absence makes the heart grow fonder, and you haven't got time to get sick of them during the week.
What about this? But it hasn't gone over well with the people I've suggested this ever to. But think about this: why don't you have separate beds? Or even separate rooms that you sleep in.
Because you've still got to see them over a cup of coffee in the morning.
You've got to wake up. And
Hang on, Heidi, Victoria.
Just live next door to each other.
No, but if you are living together, and you've you might have tipped your partner over and engaged in the horizontal folk dancing. Once all that's over. Wouldn't it be good if you repaired to your own bed or your own room and had a decent night's sleep without having to lie there next to someone wheezing and coughing and farting and dribbling? Wouldn't it be better if
Is that what your wives have done in the past?
No, well...
It's what he's done in the past.
I'm just clarifying.
Some of the
ponder.
Good forms of contraception. One of the people I used to go with, she used to wear tracksuit pants to bed. That was a good form of contraception. No, I'm only joking. It's pretty hard to get snug.
We used to call them, you've got your polar fleece and things like that. That I was especially, having just come from Antarctica, everybody was wearing their
flannies. No.
but just the thermals. The thermal layers and things like that. You just call them passion killers.
That's true. And of course, there's a whole lot of. I've used all these lines before. MickChristianMenswear.com says, oh, you haven't used that one for a while about, why was the knob on the end of the condom? You're not the knob on the end of the condoms for, don't you? You
no,
stand
I
on to get it off. So
you could wish. Only miss.
He will say, you haven't used that for a while. He'll say, I'm keeping count. Yeah, so you reckon...
I want to know why he was kneeling.
Living...
Short girlfriend.
So living apart during the week, that's probably a good way, isn't it?
I think it's a fantastic idea. I think it's great because you get to, be in your own headspace and if you've got to work on the computer or something all night, you're not going, you come into bed...
Can you bring in a cup of tea?
Yeah, love.
So this is how times have changed. This is you'll think I'm making this up, but I'm not. Back at the turn of the century, and there was a competition. A competition which Mrs. Biddle won. She was the first.
Hang on, this century or the last century?
No, to 1900s. When it became 20th century.
Yes, okay.
That's 1900, isn't it?
Yep.
Australia's, well, that's not this century. That's the century before. Right.
This is it here. One of the main attractions, this is it. Mrs. Biddle won the shapely ankle competition, judged Ooh. By men. One of the main attractions was that ladies' ankle competition, in which Mrs. Biddle was the first person to win a pair of nylon stockings. And men used to, it was like a beauty contest, except women would come in with their shapely ankles and the men would feel them and touch them and all that.
Ooh.
And so how would that go in today's,
we had a shapely ankle conversation, no.
competition.
Oh, yuck, don't be touching.
I can tell you that you won't be in that competition.
Me?
Yeah.
Has he not got good ankles?
He's got one fat one and one skinny one.
One's full of metal, isn't it?
Ankles were seen as desirable as far back as the 18th century, with one Lonely Hearts advert in the 1770s stating the shapely ankle preferred. And it said a well-turned ankle was a compliment in one of to say someone had a well-turned ankle, that was a compliment.
Well, these days, of course, if you turn an ankle, you've got to go see the physio.
Well done, Heidi.
Poor judges would have smelly fingers, wouldn't they?
Oh, jeez.
Because they'd only bathe once a week there.
No, I don't
do
the whole, Fergie and things like that, the whole foot fetish thing, and I just go, oh, yuck, yuck feet, oh.
Actually, Fergie was on the grid at the F1. I saw that in the pre-race.
In Bahrain.
Yep, with Jeremy Clarkson. He was there too.
Oh, yeah.
Off his face, but... but that's
not
okay. That's all good. Yeah, bit of fun.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was just... I just got a couple of texts through from your mate.
Who?
Warwick Kappa.
Oh, yes.
The Whiz.
The Whiz. We're in this group texting, and one of the guys has invited everyone to play tennis, which is usually tonight. And then, so Warwick Kappa's just said, "See how I'm feeling. Rode 200K Saturday, then fell over in the shower and broke tooth and two bruised legs."
Well, he rode 200K.
Well, that would be funny in itself, wouldn't it?
The Whiz.
And then they're really serious. Oh, my God, are you okay? He's just going a bit sore. You go, but no cuts. And have a look at it. Have a look at his thigh.
Oh, yeah.
He has. That is. It is black.
Oh, my God, it's black.
But I don't know how you can actually bruise your inner thigh you fall over in the shower.
They call it with pins of what he fell on.
He might have asked the nurse, "Are my testicles black?"
Having a look at the leg, it probably does go all the way up. They call him an Oak shorts he's wearing? Because they're very little.
They're very. They could be you cannot be wearing shorts.
There is playing shorts for the Swans.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
could be red,
yeah.
Now, what about Jerome Weimer? Do you know who he is? He's the bloke who got a six-figure payout for...
And then went straight into another job that wasn't advertised anywhere?
For 500K a year.
This is the state we live in. This is, when I say the state with a capital S, this is the state that is robbing us blind of every decision that's made. The land tax is a disgrace. They're just going to try and we're $226 billion in the red.
Mm.
$226 billion, and they're going to get it back by just reefing it off people who actually have saved, have worked hard all their life, have got a few shekels behind them, and they're just going to rip it off and give it to those people who don't give a fuck.
Now, what are you concerned about? The one that he got the payout for, or the job that was... That he's walked into. Because the first one, I've got a $160,000 payout he got for the first one because the project finished. Fair enough. That's what they get when the projects finish, whether they're completed or.
It was the end of a contract, wasn't it? Yep. So it was a contract payout. So
yep,
that's
contract
fair
payout. Yep. Fair enough. But the one that he's walked into or given or applied for and got, that's.
No interviews to anyone else.
Yeah, that's a bit. It was a big question mark. Bit sus.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't think the not one rule state for one. Government would be a bit... Oh, yes, you wouldn't think they'd be a bit sus, would you? Most dishonest government ever, probably besides Joe Biden's government, the most dishonest and corrupt government ever. The state government? Ever.
Do you know, I worked under several leaders when I was in the House, and so I'm going to give a big shout out to Dennis Napthine, who also has a birthday today.
Really?
He does. So the 6th of March. And it also happens to be Matthew Guy's birthday.
Oh.
And it also happens to be the day in political history where there was the handover, if you like, from Ted Baillieu to Dennis Napthine as Premier. And, of course, my strokeversary. Everything happens on the 6th of March.
She's just gone right around your question that you asked her. Beautifully politician.
That's fantastic. And do you think we'll ever see another Liberal government in Victoria, judging by the recent Dunkley fiasco?
Well, Dunkley was sort of, I think... because I don't play in politics at all anymore, but I do take an interest because of the work I do with Stroke Foundation. And I think Dunkley was exactly where they thought it was going to land. So,
yeah, that might have been where they thought it was going to land. If you couldn't win an election in opposition to the government, no matter what electorate or by-electorate you're in, except for the very, very safe Labor or Liberal seats, you'll never, ever win anything. If people keep complaining about what's going on in this state and can't tip some of the people out who make the decisions, there's never any possibility that the government will change.
Though. What? It was a federal by-election.
Well, you could double down on that. Rest my case.
They were a little bit nervous, though, weren't they? Because, I mean, it did end up closer than they anticipated.
Well, I don't know. 4% is probably the sort of swing you would expect. But don't forget, I think the result would have been different. And this is not me doing an Anthony Green and doing a big analysis. But I think the result would have been different had it been a politician who left midterm and said, I've had enough of this and I'm going to get a $500,000 job, you know, or something like that. But, of course, Peter Murphy died. Mm. And so there was no anger against the sitting member, you know, and the party in that particular area. But, you know, it brings it down to 2.5%
or
whatever it is.
No anger about the sitting member. We wouldn't be angry about him because he died. Would be angry about the party that she represents that's gradually crueling the whole country and the state.
Well, I think the Labor is wanting to put the Frankston on the foreshore there, make it all high rise, and all the residents against all in especially in the Frankston area. So they want to make it like the Gold Coast, which would be, I don't know whether that'd be good or bad. I mean, I'm in for development and progress, even the things like that, but I don't know whether it's the right thing to do on the foreshore down there. So,
well, I don't think we've got the right sort of weather to make it a southern Gold Coast, if you like, because the whole attraction of living up there is that you've got beautiful weather for so much of the year. And, you know, so it's great to have a place on the beach and have a balcony and all that sort of thing. Yeah. I mean, here we got, you know, crappy weather 3/4 of the year.
So Dick from Muff has just arrived.
Yep.
And what I forgot to tell Dick from Muff is that Heidi had to go at about the time we're going to finish this, which will be shortly. And so we started early, Dick. But that didn't matter because Dick's standing off mic here at the minute. And he is, I think, bringing in the man we haven't suggested. We haven't mentioned who we're going to interview in case Dick from Muff is going to say the person we're going to interview is not available. Is the person available?
Yes, John Shipton will be here.
Oh, so you've mentioned his name.
And
is he coming in here?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. So that's why we're doing this, Dick, is we haven't given you the arse. We just had to do this because Heidi
has another difficult job.
She has another job, to be honest. You don't want to come and see a play Heidi's in, do you? Would you like to take my spot at a play that we're all going with Heidi to see? It's called Gaslight.
Yeah,
oh,
there
bullshit.
You go.
No, he would.
Well, please, I'll have a chat to you after this. You can take my spot. Now, there was one other thing I was going to say about, Go on.
What the Alzheimer's has kicked in.
No.
No, that was last time I was here.
It's every week.
Minor attracted people. They're calling pedophiles in the States now minor attracted people. Do you know that? Minor. If you are into... If you are a pedophile or have an attraction to younger people, you're called a minor attracted people.
Just call it exactly what it is.
Minor attracted people. They're normalising the fact that you're a pedophile. I know what I was going to say. Now, so I love the Grand Prix and I love the F1 cars and their promo had. It said, horsepower and excitement and smell of the grease paint and the smell of the crowd and all that sort of stuff. And they said, where the engines of the cars get to half the engines of the cars get to half the heat of the surface of the sun. And I thought, that is the most ridiculous. How about that for a piece of false
half
advertising?
Half the heat of the surface of the sun.
The engines get hot.
Didn't they just instantaneously combust?
They get to half the heat of the surface of the sun. So I looked up.
Oh, yeah, the surface of the
sun. I Googled
it
when it said that men can have babies and men can have babies.
Has he got a Siri?
Men can
I've just he does Siri now, but then he has to whisper it sometimes when he doesn't want to.
Because when I say, hey, Sue.
And the Siri says, yeah, what?
There you are. It's come up. When I say, hey, Sue.
Oh, go on, ask it, see what it says.
No, I know, I've looked it up.
Oh, you have already.
So I looked up, can a car engine, an F1 engine, get half the heat of the surface of the sun? So it said the sun at its core, wait for this, is 27 million degrees Fahrenheit or Celsius, doesn't matter once you get it.
Bloody hot.
27 million, I thought. That could not be right, what they said about half the heat of the surface of the sun. And then it said, but the surface of the sun is 5,500 degrees Fahrenheit or Celsius.
Yeah.
And if you have 5,500, that's 2,700. And they said a car engine, an F1 engine, gets to 2,750 degrees. I thought there'd be no...
No, there's no alloy in the world that would stand up to that.
Well,
I'm throwing it out there, doing our cooking.
How could a car engine get to that? And it said if you Google it...
We could sue them.
If you Google it, I'll do it now. Think of something to talk about. I'll just show
you.
Yeah.
I've got one.
Actually, you don't have to Google it.
The listeners would remember this from 6 months ago, 12 months ago. On one of the shows, we had this sauce bottle called Shite the Bed. I don't know if anyone... That's it. So there's a show on Channel 9 coming up, Gordon Ramsay Food Stars on Channel 9.
Yep.
So that sauce is in the program.
That's been on
quite a few things.
Netflix. They go around competitions around the world and they ask people to sample. We did it here with Don.
Yeah.
We had shit the bed hot sauce here. And I said, Don, it's pretty hot. He said, oh, bullshit, I can eat it. And we bought out different strengths of, and then we gave him shit the bed hot sauce.
Yeah.
And his face went numb.
Nearly had to call the ambulance.
Yeah, we thought he'd had a stroke.
So what was it on the Scoble scale?
It was, that wasn't even the bad one. They do competitions where there's some extraordinary man just grows. He specialises in growing the hottest chili in the world.
Yeah.
And if you can actually eat it and not vomit, you win the prize. How hot does an F1 engine get?
What's the prize? Toilet paper.
Don't do it during COVID. It'd be a problem.
It's actually, I don't know. Do you like hot food, Paul?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, yep. Sam?
Yes, so I do, Heidi.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So I'm the odd one out here. So
New Orleans,
which is a town I love to visit, you know, as often as I can, you know, I'm guessing, you know, Tabasco is nothing for you guys, but Tabasco is along with salt and pepper on all the tables. And I was there one year and a friend who loves anything hot and spicy said, you know, where do we go around here to the waitress? Where can we go around here to buy good hot sauce? and, you know, chili sauce. And she said, oh, she said, down on Decatur Street, there's this, you know, hot chili sauce shop and whatever. And he said, no, I've tried all of those. They're not hot enough. Now, I'm thinking at this stage, he's got no taste buds,
yep.
you know.
Yep.
And she said, no, I want you to go in there and I want you to see whatever the name of the person was and tell them I sent you and you want the hottest sauce in the shop. And when they show you something off the shelf, say, no, I want what's behind the curtain under the counter.
Or the secret cabinet.
The secret one. And what it was it's concentrated
yep.
and it's an essence.
Mm.
So, you know, like when they
yep.
do a vanilla essence or whatever, it's concentrated. And so what they did was we went down there to this shop and he thought he'd take the challenge. And they put it on – they actually – it's illegal to sell it. And they put it on the tip of a toothpick.
Yep.
And he put it on his tongue and there was an instant blister.
Oh, seriously?
Extraordinary,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah. They said, can't sell it to you, sorry.
I want you to read that, please. Just read that.
Righto.
If it goes off, just tap it again.
2,600 degrees Celsius.
No, just read it. What, read the start of it.
It burns 110.
This is a car. This is a Formula One engine. Go
this
on.
This is a Formula One engine. It burns 110 kilos of fuel per race, and the engine gets up to 2,600 degrees Celsius.
That how can anything that is manufactured on this planet, Dick, who's just going to mouth the answer to this, how can anything that's manufactured on this planet withstand 2,600 degrees Celsius of heat?
I don't know, but why don't we
And I thought, well, if that's what it says, they have advertised, the advertising is not wrong.
It's correct. It's why don't we ring Andrew Westacott or something and
oh,
ask
yeah,
him?
Oh, he'd know, wouldn't he? How would he know? All he did is put the event on and did it very well.
Did it very well.
Yeah, we should. Who builds the cars?
What about the Lamborghini? What would that get up to? How hot? The engine.
Depending on who's in it.
Oh.
No, is that very the good. Driving or the passenger seat?
No, I don't. I'll get back to you on that. How's that for next week?
How can anything... that's half the heat of the surface of the sun.
Right.
The surface of the sun.
As opposed to the core.
The core.
So how hot does a normal car get?
It said here, that's a good question, because it said here it gets up to about 260 degrees.
Okay. And what would an electric car get up to?
Depends on whether its engine
fire?
Was on fire. Yeah. Its battery was
yeah,
on
very
fire.
Good.
Because I remember last week you did say something about Mercedes and electric cars, and a guy named Marcus, 35, he's made a comment. What Sam says, Mercedes have decided will not be building any more electric cars. The actual truth, last week Mercedes revealed that it will now delay its goal of becoming an electric vehicle only brand by 2030.
Yep, they said that they're cutting back on making electric vehicles, them, Audi, about four other manufacturers, because there is the demand for them is not as great and people are realising it's a hoax.
Mm. And they'd catch on fire, so they'd get
very
hot.
Catch on fire, and it's just a ploy to attain some emission standards. And
why don't
I keep saying,
we have nuclear cars. We can do it in submarines.
I reckon they'll have an F1 electric car race.
No, they do. Yeah, they do. Yeah, Formula E.
Formula.
But it doesn't take off because the thing that's lacking is the sound. So they put these little diffuser things into the electric engine to make it sort
and
of
they
sound.
Can only drive, it they is can only hopeless. Do 20 laps or so because they
and then they change cars. They jump into the other car. The other the good thing about it is they can have it in the streets. So in the streets of Paris, in Germany, and things like that, because there's no sound, so it doesn't wake up the residents.
Well, didn't you tell me something
race at midnight anyway?
Didn't you tell me something about the F1s here in Melbourne? Is that they obviously have microphones to make them sound?
Yep.
Yeah, because a few years ago, that was when I lost interest, was when they toned all the sound down and I went, okay, so not interested in that.
They put a microphone now at the back of them.
So I used to go up to Winton quite a lot to like the classic races and things like that. And the most fun thing is, if you've ever been up to Winton?
Yeah.
You know, you're standing there in the VIP box, which is just this sort of elevated square thing. Sam's showing me something.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just when you're ready.
And I would be the one who, as the cars were coming round the track, I'd be the one opening the window, going with my head out the window, going.
Is it for the smell of the Evgas?
No, it was actually the noise. Yeah. And then I'd finish my close the window and finish my conversation. But it was all about the noise, you know. It's that rumble that you get inside. It's
what about
feeling.
The smell?
That's like the F1 jet coming over, getting the rumble inside.
Exactly.
I told you that.
Yeah.
This is on the
what it says.
Google machine, right?
Right, I love that Google machine.
Just a reminder that a volcano in Greece has put more CO2 into the atmosphere in 24 hours than humans have in their entire existence. So that's why it's such a hoax. Yep. The electric car industry, who are they saving? They're saving no one. Because there's 1,500 active volcanoes around the world, and they say this one volcano puts more shit into the atmosphere in a day than we have ever, and there's 1,500 of them, active volcanoes. So it's these people that clamber on top of the bridge and hold up the traffic, they are nothing more than ill-bred, illiterate insects.
There you go.
They're just pieces of pig's vomit. Yeah. Mm. Okay, now, Heidi, Victoria, we're in early because you have to go and do something. Well, now that Ivan's told, we're in early. I just want to say the football season, we haven't spoken about sport. The football season kicks off, is it tonight?
Haven't spoken about sport.
We've just done a lot of sport.
Well, we didn't speak per se about sport.
We didn't speak AFL.
Anyhow,
the first match is always Carlton and...
No, that's... The first round one is in 3 weeks, but these are preparatory rounds played for the benefit of people up in far north Queensland to try and promote the game over rugby league and whatever. I don't even know what it means.
Well, round one is next week, 14th of...
Yeah, but it has pre-lead-up rounds.
But it's
games.
The pre-lead-up games are played for points, premiership points, so it's ostensibly round one. Anyhow, I was a captive audience in a fish and chip shop down at Werribee called Kippers, because it's a beautiful fish and chips down there.
All the way to Werribee for your fish and chips.
I do indeed.
Past the climate activists on the bridge.
And I go down twice. I go down to get the fish and chips, and when I eat it and evacuate the bowels, I go back again. So I was in waiting for so busy. There's a queue out onto the Watton Street in the main street. And I was standing inside watching a practice match between the Eagles, the West Coast Eagles, and the Crows. And nothing has changed. This is a practice game and it was so boring. Player would get a mark, he would look round for 30 seconds, the umpire would tell him to play and he'd chip it over there, then he'd hold it and then he'd kick it back to where... Both sides were playing this ridiculous football, which our game is very popular because it's a tribal competition, no one gives a stuff how your side plays as long as it wins, but if you are aesthetically at all interested in the way the game is played, it is a crock of shit.
And I used to love it in the 70s, you know, not that you'd go for the biffo behind the lines or anything like that, but it was interesting. It was fast. It was brutal.
No one is going to change the paradigm, the way the game's played, in case they get a flogging. But the best time to do it would be in a practice game to see, we'll get the ball, we'll kick it down quickly to someone to see if they can kick a goal. But no one ever does it. And Alistair Clarkson, this is the final thing we'll say, he shouted at someone, I think, because his star player got knocked out or bumped by Mr. Webster, did he?
Yep, correct. Do you know any of the names? I think he's been given seven matches.
Okay, so anyhow, when Alistair Clarkson, who coach of North Melbourne, and their side is very ordinary, and Alistair Clarkson saw his best player taken out by this...
The captain was taken out.
By Mr. Webster, wasn't it?
Yes.
He got a little angry because he's an angry little man, and Alistair Clarkson, and he had a bit of invective and a bit of swearing directed at the opposition, and he's been hauled over the coals and fined. I think he'll be fined $25,000 and maybe on probation, I don't know.
It's a good lunch.
Because he was swearing. And I said to someone, oh, God. And they said, oh, no, you can't swear at people and you can't do that. So there we are. So do you agree that you can swear at people if someone does the wrong thing to one of your teammates? Or you think you should be a role model?
I am the first girl to have been accused, and I've got to say, allegedly, because it's not on Hansard, to swear in the chamber. So, you know, you're asking the wrong gal.
What did
here.
You say? What did it start with?
The word? Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Oh, what did you swear?
Allegedly.
What
could you have allegedly?
What did the word start with?
A letter.
you didn't, not the F word. Did you? You said you're. Did you say the Right Honourable Member, the member for Keysbury, is a fucking idiot? Did you say that, or what did you say?
No, I didn't use the word idiot. Hey, can I just go back? Because you know, I love the fact that we've got so many bird names in, you know. Sports competitions, and it just reminded me of a former American president who was out and about, and he went off to some sort of a ceremony for First Nations peoples over there, or First Peoples, or whatever they have a different term to ours, and he was given his own name, and they called him Walking Eagle, and he's so absolutely chuffed because he's got his own, you know, indigenous name, and he's all happy, and he's, you know, walking around like he's all proud. He's Walking Eagle, and of course everybody's laughing, and he says, you know, I'm pretty chuffed about this. And he thought they were just laughing because he was so puffed up about all of this, and he said, but it's Walking Eagle. And they went, yeah, but you realize what that means?
No.
And he said, no. And he said, means that you're so heavy, you're so full of shit, you can't fly.
Can't fly.
Very good.
Very good.
Why do you ask two dogs fucking? You remember that joke?
No. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. Don't you?
No.
Maybe
for another
the
day.
Tribal names are given when you just saw something. You sort of a nice pristine lake. You said you're called Blue Lake, and the bloke said, oh, he said, yeah. He said, what's your name? He said, well, no, and he said there was some dog. I don't know. He said, you're given a name when you see... How am I going with this
joke?
Yeah,
not too good. You're given the name when the father comes out of the teepee and sort of says,
yes.
Well, there's
why do you
Blue
ask,
Lake.
Yes, why do you ask two dogs fucking? Anyhow, yeah, I don't know, either. That's you got the punchline, but I'd have to do a little work on the body of the joke.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Heidi Victoria, well done again. Thank you so much for coming in. Any other final announcements you want to make?
No.
No?
I've got one. One shout-out for Frank from the ANZ, who I ran into.
And all of his mates.
Yeah, well, he sort of... So Frank from the ANZ in Docklands and his team,
yes.
who may listen to it on a Friday afternoon.
We did Michael Christian, menswear.com, but Vince, I met in 18 Pence Lane, which is Andrew's coffee shop. And he had the gravity on his overalls. So I said, Vince, I'll give you a shout out. He loved the podcast. And also Mark from Echuca. I saw him in the elevator in my building, and he said he'd come down. He said he'd come down to visit his mother, who was 100 or was about to be 100. And he said he was so excited. Her mother. That when she wanted to reach 100 because she wanted to get a telegram from the Queen. And she said she's a bit pissed off because she doesn't because she's dead now, the Queen. She doesn't want to get a telegram from Prince Charles, the King.
Oh, really?
King Charles.
He wanted to get a telegram from the Queen. But he was in the elevator and he listens to the podcast.
So a big shout out to him and a extra big shout out to his mum.
Yeah, I didn't get his mum's name, but he's from Echuca.
Do you know, someone told me on your floor where you live, I don't know this, but on the floor that you live, there's been an elevator out, right?
Mm.
So this person walks out of the lift and sees a chair there.
Yeah.
And so he turns right, and then obviously, you know, Sam sticks his head out apparently and goes, And the guy goes, "What's a chair doing here?" And he goes, "That's what I have to sit on to wait for the lift."
Yeah, because it's too late. I got the chair out of my dining room and I have it outside the lift. Sometimes you wait for 4 minutes for the lift to come. Because
you are one of the fittest, most active men I know, and you need a chair at the lift.
I've taken it out of my lounge dining suite and it sits out in the foyer waiting for someone to pinch it.
So it's not going to worry you to sit in the theatre for 2.5 hours. Yes.
Well, did you hear him go off about the tennis? He was sitting there for 3 hours.
Oh, well, there you go. Faster to go to the theatre.
I'm not giving, not betraying any confidences because no one knows where I live, but Oscar Piastri's mother lives in my tower. I saw her in the elevator the other day.
Oh, you've got a bit of celebrities in your apartment building, haven't you? You've got the Daily Messenger.
To meet more important people.
Anyhow, there we are. And if Cone, I think it is, I think they're the elevator Cone. Company. If Cone are listening, mate,
hurry
if
up.
You could hurry up and fix the fucking lifts.
And when you're done with this building,
there's 400 people live in the building and there's two lifts, and when one of them's out, you can wait for 5 minutes for the lift.
And I've got to get a chair out and sit on it to wait.
Yeah, that's right.
You could walk down the stairs.
Well, funny you should say that.
Yes, you can, but you can only get out on your floor for security reasons. So once you start, you're a captive audience in the stairwell.
Level one or your level?
Yeah, I was going to say you can get out on the ground floor because they've got to do that.
It's not good when you're on the 30th floor.
No.
You've got to have a chair just sit there
right
and wait for the lift.
That's it. And we got the Muff Man coming back, and we hopefully Dr. Ben Fordham, MD, is coming on. No, don't look at your watch again, Ivan. So that's it. So thank you, Heidi. All the best. Is that the one I pressed there?
Been a pleasure.
That one, isn't it?